Blog Talk Radio.
So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna demand rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Just the love like one of
hope may be in you.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Snell, and we are going to have a new episode tonight, episode 44, Padre Pio and St. Teresa of Lisieux, and my co-host.
Hi, everyone. Hi. This is Grace Anglade.
Hi.
Am I coming in? How am I coming in? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fine.
Good. Cool. All right. So, Jen and I decided on Padre Pio and Saint Therese de Lisieux tonight because lots of times when Jen is doing readings, these two often come in together to talk to people, to work with people. So it'd be great. We thought it'd be a great idea to do them together tonight.
Yeah, they're amazing. They always come through.
Yeah,
together.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. Go ahead.
You want to start us off?
Yeah, I'm going to start with St. Teresa of Lisieux. It's kind of long. A lot of this information I got from Wikipedia, and I'm not going to lie about that. But I've also been to Lisieux, and it's an amazing trip if you ever get a chance to go to France. And so I think it's the second most visited place in France after Lourdes, as far as pilgrimage sites are. And it's in a town in Normandy called Lisieux. So let me see. St. Teresa of Lisieux is also known as a little flower. She was born on January 2nd, 1873, and she passed away on September the 30th, 1897. And let me see, she is known as a little flower of Jesus. She is known for her simplicity and practicality of her approach to the spiritual life. Now, she felt like she wanted to be a nun from early on. Both parents were extremely, this doesn't come from Wikipedia, but this does because I was there and I went through the whole thing. Her parents, Marie Azélie Guérin, also known as Zélie, and her father, Louis Martin, Marie Azélie, known as Zélie, Zélie was a lace maker. And her father, Louis Martin, was a watchmaker. Well, they both wanted to go in some kind of religious order, but both of them were declined. They couldn't go in for some reason or another. So they both married in 1858, and they were going to live a life like brother and sister. But the priest, then they felt the calling to have children. So they had 9 children, and the first four of them passed away, 3 of them as babies, and there was Helene. When she was 5 years old, she passed away. So there was 4, and the remaining 5 daughters became nuns. So we'll talk about St. Therese's life a bit. Her mom passed away when she was 4 and a half of breast cancer. And it just blew away her world. I mean, it just totally, she was at her mother's bedside when her mother passed away. And her father then, they were living in Alençon. The father, Louis Martin, took them to Lisieux, and he moved in with the Guérin family. I think it was the Guérin family. And then after a while, he found a place, he leased a place called Buissonnet. Now, Buissonnet is a house where St. Teresa lived there from the time they lived there until she went in to become a Carmelite nun. And it's a beautiful house. It is It's a kind of a reddish pink house, I think, and there's a garden in the back. If you can feel St. Teresa's presence there, it's not very ostentatious. There's the garden. Apparently, she has a little chapel back there, a little chapel that she made. And in this house, she was raised by her sister Pauline, and she was often sick. Like, then one day she was out with her uncle, and her uncle started talking about her mother. And afterwards, she just had these nervous tremors. I mean, the tremors were so bad that they had to, she was put in for bed rest. And that they thought it was kind of a hysterical tremor, you know, not having gotten over whatever. They didn't know what it was. So somebody put a statue of the Virgin Mary in her room. And at May 13th, 1887, she reported that she had seen the Virgin Mary smile at her. And right after that, she was better. I mean, right after that, it was immediate. So when she was telling the Carmelite nuns about this, because she knew she wanted to be a nun, that she was assailed with so many questions that she wasn't sure what she had seen. I mean, she started doubting herself. Like, you know, maybe she had done it. She really started to doubt herself. So that was kind of, you know, difficult for her. She was a high strung child. Like, she didn't go to school until she was 8 and a half because her family, her sister Pauline, they schooled her at home. And she was bright, you know, she was a pretty bright kid. When she got into school, the only thing she needed help with, I think, was arithmetic and writing. The rest of it, she was, you know, advanced. So a lot of the older kids that weren't very smart used to tease her and bully her. So she really never found any solace until she got back at home in the evening. She also suffered from a tremendous amount of not feeling guilty good enough, you know, to be in Jesus's, to go after the path of being a Carmelite nun. She was very, very high strung, and she suffered from something called scruples. I looked it up online, and it's kind of an OCD. It's also this, somebody's going to say something about it, but it's this just feeling like not being good enough. I almost want to say called mental self-flagellation. I mean, about not being good enough for God or religion and stuff, just wanting to push yourself harder and harder. So, as she said, she cried a lot. It was kind of hard for the father because he was raising the four girls himself, and the youngest, she was very much, you know, cried a lot, had a lot of emotional ups and downs. Well, Christmas Eve of 1886, she kind of had a complete conversion. They used to put their shoes out waiting for the Jesus to come and put gifts in their shoes and things like that. And all of a sudden, she felt the word charity enter her heart, and she realized she needed to forget herself in order to make others happy. And at that moment, there was a complete change. All that from the last 9 years of that grieving about her mother and about that kind of not knowing where she was and everything else, it just went away. As soon as that word charity hit her heart, she was like, okay, I've got my path. And she said she wasn't, after that night, and it says it in Wikipedia, she says, I wasn't defeated in any battle, but instead went from victory to victory and began, so to speak, to run the giant's course. And that's from Psalm 19:5. So she was really, really, you know, that kind of changed everything for her. That they say that some people have done her biography said that night of illumination would guide her between the mortal and the divine, the living and the dying, destruction and apotheosis. It would take her where she intended to go. So at 14, she was reading The Imitation of Christ, and she kept this book with her constantly. Also, her father had suffered a small stroke because I think the girls were older. Pauline, now you have to realize her mother left, her mother passed away. Pauline, her older sister, who had been like a second mother to her, had gone in to become a Carmelite nun, and which it was a cloister, which meant she couldn't leave, she couldn't visit the family. So, you know, Saint Therese lost her kind of mother figure then. Her father at that time, he was suffering a small stroke, and she took her father in the garden, and she said, look, Dad, I want to be a Carmelite nun too. And he was, you know, they both cried, but he knew that was what she wanted to do. He was very, you know, she was refused. Her father had taken her to Rome to meet the Pope. I think it was Pope Leo XIII. And at that time, she asked Pope Leo XIII, she asked him if she could join the Carmelite nuns. And he said, it depends on what the Mother Superior says. So she wouldn't leave his feet. They kind of had to bring the Swiss guard and take her out. She just would not leave his feet. I don't think it was because of that. I think she just felt so good in his presence. The Carmelite order, during that period of time, this is very strange. She realized, because she had never left the area in France, and she realized that not all priests are, so to speak, the salt of the earth. She realized that a lot of priests were human, and they weren't priests as they should be. And she also realized that there was, like, I think there was somebody that kind of was interested in her, not a priest, but, you know, a guy was kind of interested in her. And she just couldn't wait to join the convent to kind of get away from all that. Also, during that time, there was a man. Well, I mean, this is somebody that was totally, if you look in her eyes, you know, she is totally focused towards God. I mean, there's everything about her is just totally focused. She's on one of those angels on earth. There was a killer that was convicted of killing two adults and a child. And she made it her mission to pray for him, that he would be converted. And it said before he was executed, he grabbed the crucifix and kissed it three times. And she said, you know, she said that was because of her prayers. So she made it her mission to pray for people like that and to pray for priests so priests would find their vocation. That was her mission. So,
wow.
She, you know, she, that's, what?
I
no,
wonder
I mean,
what she thinks of that now with all the priests getting arrested for pedophilia.
Well, no, because Pope Francis invocates her, not invocates her, talks to her all the time. I mean, there are stories of him with her. He talks to her constantly. I was telling my husband, I have to find my notes, but there was at the time when he was, when Pope Francis was Father Bergoglio, is that it? And when he was cardinal, he was a cardinal at the time. And he was Cardinal Berg, I think it's, oh, help me out here. When he was a cardinal at the time, let's just say that he was a cardinal at the time. And he went to Buenos Aires. He was at Buenos Aires and he was doing a mass there for a certain saint. And I'm still looking for my notes here. All right. And they're not to be found. He was doing a mass for a certain saint. And after the mass, he was supposed to go to the receiving line and it was like 15 blocks long. And talk to people. Well, he had a problem with his foot at the time, and he was only going to be able to do two blocks. So he talked to Saint Teresa to help him. He was like, you know, he said, you know, is there, you know, can you help me out? And okay, here it was. He's Cardinal Bergoglio, and he was in Saint Buenos Aires to do the mass for Saint Cajeta. And this is where they celebrate the mass. And then she walks along the line of the pilgrims, blessing him and stuff. It's on August 7th. Excuse me, I have to cough. Sorry. So he's talking to St. Teresa, asking her for help. And he thought, well, I'm only going to be able to go two blocks, and then I'm going to have to go back because my foot hurts so much. Well, as he went into the first two blocks, there was this man wearing a black overcoat, and he kind of stopped in front of him and gave him a white rose. And the priest was, the cardinal at the time was going to move over. And he goes, you don't understand. This is the sign you were asking for, because he asked St. Teresa for a sign. And that was, and he grabbed, and, you know, Pope Francis, now Pope Francis, grabbed the rose because he had been, you know, looking for that sign. And there was another one where he was on an airplane. And a woman, a French reporter, had given him a statue of St. Teresa that she had found, a wooden statue, and she had found in a flea market, and that she had polished and things like that. And he had said that before he got on the plane to go where he was going, he asked for a sign for St. Teresa. So he uses her a lot. I think it's Padre Pio, too. He talks to Padre Pio a lot, too. So anyway, going back to my story about her, that she went into the Carmelite order, and first she was refused because of her age, but then, you know, she went through that area, and then at 14 years old, they said, yes, you can go in, you can go into the order. So she went into a novice. And she said while she was a novice, she applied herself to practicing little virtues, not having to perform great ones. She referred to herself as a grain of sand, always a little lighter in order to be lifted easily by the wings, by the breeze of love. She was kind of like a lot of the other nuns were afraid of God. And she realized that the only way that she was going to be able to do this is by loving God, you know, going out of love. So let me see what else. She ended up working, then she finally became a nun, and she apparently, her, the woman in charge of the abbess, let's call her the abbess, The woman in charge of the convent wanted her to start writing her memoirs because she had a lot of miracles. She was able to intercede in behalf of people, and things would happen. You know, she would just she would just pray, and things would happen. So she wrote the book, and it's called the. It's called the. Here. It's something called the Way of the Soul or the Sacred Path of the Soul. It's around here somewhere. I'll find it. It's the story of a soul. I have it upstairs. And the nun came back, and the head nun came back and made like 7,000 corrections to it. She wanted the book written like it was towards a Virgin Mother. But, so I guess they went back and forth. Let me see. She read the work of John of the Cross, and she read writings by Saint Teresa of Avila, who started the Carmelite nuns. She read The Ascent of Mount Carmel, The Way of Purification, The Spiritual Canticle, The Living Flame of Love. And as I said, the other sisters were paralyzed by fear of God, but her. She would say, with love, not only do I go forward, I fly. So she was based entirely on love. Oh, she was her big time heroine. Get this. Her big time heroine was Joan of Arc. She loved Joan of Arc. And she wrote two plays. The one in response to her hearing heavenly voices. And I think she wrote that because she heard heavenly voices herself. So she had somebody there that was going the same thing as she was doing. Also, she wrote the second play in response to her martyrdom. She wanted to, she wanted to do that. And they performed the plays. The nuns performed the plays. So for her, she said, for sanctity, it was not necessary to accomplish heroic acts or great deeds in order to attain holiness and to express her love for God. She wrote, love proves itself by deed. So how I am to show my love? Great deeds are forbidden to me. The only way I can prove my love is by scattering flowers, and these flowers are every little sacrifice, every little glance, every little word, and doing the least actions for love. So that's what she does, and she said that her job was to pray for souls, and after she died, it was like to convert as many souls as she could. To spirituality and things like that. And she's still very active in the world today. There's some sites around. There's one thing. Now, for those people who are listening who are Catholic, I mean, I'm not telling, I happen to be raised Catholic. There's a little to invoke St. Teresa's help today. It's St. Teresa, a little flower. Please pick me a rose from the heavenly garden and send it to me with a message of love. Ask God to grant the favors I implore, and tell him that I will love him each day more and more. Amen. And so before 11 o'clock, you're supposed to do 5 Our Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, 5 Glory to Bees, and do that for 5 days in a row before 11 o'clock in the morning. And on the last day, you would do that twice, that little thing right there twice. Also, the signs, she sends a shower of roses, and she said before, she died of tuberculosis. And I think, Jen, you told me one time, a lot of people who are incarnated angels, their affliction comes in the lungs. And tuberculosis of the lungs. So anyway, she sends a shower of roses. You know, if St. Teresa has heard you, you will receive roses. She's done this to me time and time again. And her goal was to help the sick, the afflicted, the unbelievers, and help them to get their zeal back to put them on the path for what they were there for. So I don't have a lot in spirituality about her. She is the patron. She is the one of the best loved saints in France. She is told, she's said to be the patron saint of Russia, but the Eastern Orthodox Church doesn't recognize that. Mother Mary is the patron saint of France. So, besides Joan of Arc. So anyway, that's all I have about her. So how do you experience her when she comes in for readings?
Well, one thing that I want to say about her is she's very genteel. just her energy is very genteel. It's almost like a little bird, if you think
yeah.
of a bird.
Yeah.
She's very connected to Jesus. I know that. I know they're very connected. And Joan of Arc was very connected to Jesus too, so I'm not surprised.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, that was her last words on the pyre, was that she saw Jesus. And what else? I think for me, she is kind of the epitome of a light worker, and that she was here during a very difficult time in history, right? That was right after the U.S. Civil War. There was a lot going on at that time.
Well, apparently, during that time, they said there was like the militarization of Christianity, and they were using the Jews as scapegoats at that time. She wasn't aware of that, but that's what's happening in Europe at that time, mm-hmm. according to Wikipedia, that I didn't know about. Let me see. Oh, I want to talk a bit about the Basilica in Lisieux. If you have a chance to go to the Basilica in Lisieux, it's all right. I don't know how to say this. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But knowing simplicity of the little flower, it doesn't quite go together. You know, I found her spirit more at the house, and we're going to go back to convent to see where, because that's where she really loved to be. But it's all mosaic. It's absolutely all mosaic. Everything in there, there's been donations, different countries, different places of different mosaics. It is something to see. If you're looking for, it's very peaceful there. It's not as, doesn't have that same energy as Lourdes does. But, you know, you can find all the memorabilia about her in the store. And in there. And downstairs, if you go down the basement, that's more dedicated to her parents. And a lot of that mosaic is in pink and gold. So plan on spending the day there. Bring your lunch, you know, plan on spending the day. It is worth going. But, you know, I would, if you want to really find her, I think if you want to really find her spirit, it could be there if you're looking for it. You know, I didn't find it there, but that's me. I found her in the house and the garden where she put up her little chapel and things like that. And as I said, we're going to go back to the convent and see if we can kind of find her spirit there.
Yeah, and another interesting thing to note is Joan of Arc had a similar upbringing. She had a similar upbringing in that she was basically a peasant girl, you know?
Yeah.
Peasant, I mean, you know, they didn't have a lot of money, very simple, stuff like that. And they weren't into the material world at all. They just weren't into it.
Yeah. She said when it came to playing in the playground, she didn't really want to play with the other kids. I mean, she didn't want to play the games with the other kids. She was more into taking care of the younger children. And she's very into helping out with kids. I mean, I've noticed, you know, I noticed that she does come through. She's a very gentle energy, and she does help out with children a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about her, and that's why we wanted to do the show on her tonight. So people could ask for her help as a spirit guide if you want to do that. And you might even want to ask for both of them to come through because they're very, very powerful together, I've noticed. They must be like yin and yang or something. But anyway. So, yeah. That
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I have. Kind of took all day too. But I wanted to say something about Padre Pio. Which is, because Jen's going to do Padre Pio, but I energy is one of my spirit guides. Both St. Teresa of Lisieux and Padre Pio come in often in my readings. And it's kind of, it's a little bit like St. Germain's energy, except more powerful and more fiery. And he comes in when you're having problems with relationships. Like, Cami, my daughter and I were in the car. My daughter sees things. And I said, I think Padre Pio, because I said my daughter, she was having a problem with a classmate. Actually, they were texting because, you know, I was taking her someplace and we were going to go back to school afterwards. And I could feel Padre Pio in the car. My daughter had problems with this classmate, but she was really feeling bad. And I said, well, text her and tell her that you're there if she wants to talk. And so I said, Padre Pio's here. Can you see him? She goes, yeah. She goes, he's got brown robes. She goes, he's tall. She's closing her eyes and doing this. And she goes, he's got a beard, really dark eyes. And I said, well, what does she say to you? And she said, well, tell her, go ahead and help my friend, you know, to help out here. You know, I'm doing the right thing. And I said, well, does he have a message for me? And she goes, he said for you to ask for him to yourself. And she said, now he's laughing. So, and he does help, like, huh? He did, you know, and he does help in relationships. Like, if you feel like, you know, I think my husband and I were kind of on different wavelengths yesterday. And as I was driving to work, because I teach English, Padre Pio is giving me the, you know, the pep talk about the marriage and about, you know, about, like, you don't answer negativity with negativity, step up. And he was right. Everything just worked out perfectly. I mean, I was, you know, he needs you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So he was, and actually he's here right now. I can feel him. He's over my shoulder and he's in my right ear right now and back up my shoulder right now. He seems to be extremely happy about the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're so cool too.
Yeah. So I'll let you go and I've got some stuff to add.
Okay. So, his name is St. Pio of Petrocina. I'm not sure how to say that.
Petrocina, yeah.
That's Italian. Pietrelcina. He was born in Italy May 25th, 1887. And he died September 23rd, 1968 in Italy. So he was a priest. He was always wanted to be in service to God ever since he was 5 years old. When he was baptized, he was given the name Francesco. His family was illiterate, but they memorized the scriptures and they narrated Bible stories to their children. Isn't that amazing? They're illiterate.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, right? Anyway, so what he's most known for, and actually the date for this book is the 20th of September, 1918. He started showing what's called the stigmata on his hands and on his feet and on his head. And basically, the stigmata is a sign that someone's very connected to Jesus and is kind of taking on that, I'll say, soul mission.
The wounds of the cross. The stigmata is the wounds of the cross.
Right.
When Jesus was nailed to the cross. The stigmata is the wounds of the cross, and they were said that his wounds smelled like roses.
Yeah. And he had, he just continuously was bleeding. I mean, and he said in the book, he said it was, you know, it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, you're walking around and you're touching people and stuff like that, and your head's bleeding and your arms are bleeding and his feet bled. So he always had bandages around his hands and around his head because he was kind of, you know, he was kind of embarrassed about it. But I mean, because he did have this stigmata, everybody knew that he was the real deal, right?
Right.
Because he's showing these wounds. Anyway, so one of the most interesting things about him is they buried him in 1968, and then they dug him up. Okay. They went and dug him up, and this was about, I think, 5 years ago or so, or maybe it was longer, but they dug him up, and I remember seeing the news article, and I was mortified. I was like, oh, no, you know, they're digging him up.
Yeah, why?
Kind of sacrilegious in a way, but apparently that when they dug him up, he still had his features. His body had not decomposed, and a lot of the saints and also yogis, and this happens with yogis too, I've heard about this, their bodies don't decompose like other people. So he actually had his flesh on his face still intact, along with his beard and everything else. So after that happened, then they, and I'm sure they did a little bit of wax job on him too, because when you look at him, it just looks like he's sleeping in the glass coffin there. But they started allowing people to view his body. And several of my friends from Ireland actually took the trip over to, I think it was in Rome or something, to view the body. And there was a huge line to see that. So I just wanted to mention that.
I think he's coming to Raleigh-Durham. He's coming to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina in September, I read.
No way.
I'm pretty sure I read that like 2 days ago, is that the body, you know, is going to make a, because the body is going to be going all over. And I think
is
it's coming to Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, or relics.
Is it the body though, or is it the relics? Because
I think it's the relics.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think they're moving his body. I think they're the relics of Padre Pio. So they've, and let me talk about the relics for a minute. They have like things that he wore, like his gloves and different things. And they actually will do like a mini tour of just the relics, because my friend in Ireland went to see his gloves at her church, and they were like letting people touch it. But
well, relics are pieces of bones of the saint. I mean, they're pieces of bones. That's according to the Catholic Church. They are pieces of bones that, and Notre Dame, Notre Dame in Paris, there's a lot of different relics and different things, you know, and different, like, they have them on display of different saints. So I don't know. Do they have that? When you're talking about relics, you're talking about pieces of clothing.
That's what my friend said when he came to Ireland, when they quote brought his relics, whatever you want to call it. It
right.
was a glove, a white glove that he wore, that they people to touch it. Now, my friend that told me this, who lives in Ireland, he's been one of her spirit guides from the beginning too. And he was one of my first spirit guides to come in for me, along with Mother Mary. So I have a really long history with him, I think. Probably from past lives too. There's usually more to it, you know?
Right.
But he's such an amazing man. And something else I want to mention, even if you can't make it to Italy, there is a Padre Pio chapel, which I've driven by it. And I'm going to give you the exact location here, but it's a huge, beautiful chapel, and you can see it from the road. And I'll have to find out where it is, but I think it's somewhere up in New Jersey. But it's, anyway, there's still a lot of Catholic people that are, you know, are very in touch with him.
I have info from, it's the Encyclopedia of Angels and Ascended Masters by Susan Gregg. She said, Padre Pio will heal any type of wound or disease. He helps with strong relationships. He helps you connect with loved ones that are alive. He deepens your spiritual connection. He helps you forgive. He helps you feel the presence of angels and guides. And he helps you make wise decisions and develop your discernment. It said that he was a man of great faith, so when you want assistance, you place a rose at the base of a simple cross, not a crucifix, a simple cross, and expect great miracles to occur in your lifetime. Any request made with an open heart and a willingness to embrace forgiveness is sure to be graciously answered. He excels at helping you see the true nature of challenges. You know, like if you're having a lot of challenges in your life, he's going to help you see why, you know, there's that, you know, when a lot of people do that same thing again and again and again and again. He's a miracle worker. When the stigmata came, he had tuberculosis, just like St. Teresa of Lisieux, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and, to be healed. And like in 1918, while he was praying, then the stigmata came in his, came, you know, on his hands, and that gave off the scent of roses. His spiritual gifts are the ability to heal, to bilocate, for prophecy, to perform miracles, to levitate, to see angelic beings, and also to, let me see, and I can't read my, I think it's to discard spirits. I'm not sure. He could go without sleep or nourishment. He could speak and understand languages he had never studied, and he could multiply food and drink. So you knew he was a real master. He was known to appear in confessionals all over the world, and his invisible presence is marked by a fragrance of roses. And Pope John Paul used to travel a great distance to have Padre Pio hear his confession. And he taught people the underlying cause of their problems, and he would ask them to forgive themselves and others. And he said, after my death, I will do more. My real mission will begin after my death. So if you're, you know, starting on this spiritual path and you want, and I had a friend of mine who kind of, you know, one of these people that are like too busy to spirituality, she had five kids. And so I said, well, why don't you start working with Padre Pio? And she reported back to me about 6 months later. She goes, you can't believe how my life has changed since working with Padre Pio. So he is a, he's been in life. He's been there, and he is a real, real force in the world.
Yes, he is. And one thing I want to mention here about the United States, I just looked this up online. There is it's called the National Center for Padre Pio. It's a huge chapel and stuff. It's in Bartow, Pennsylvania, B-A-R-T-O, which I think is north of Philadelphia.
Right.
Looks like an hour or so north of Philly. And there's also the, what was the other thing here? There's a shrine in New Jersey called the St. Padre Pio Shrine. And I've seen this because it's on the way to Atlantic City.
Three angels.
That's why I remembered seeing it, because I used to drive to Atlantic City.
Invoking Padre Pio to help you out at the casino. I got it.
I'm embarrassed to say that's why it was ringing a bell, but anyway.
Look, you and me both, huh? I'm not going to lie about that. When I go home, I go to the casino, too. There's also, because I've been making you laugh, there's a www.padrepio, all in one word, .com. There's Padre Pio, kind of his saying was pray, hope, and don't worry. There's a Padre Pio Foundation of America at 463 Main Street in Cromwell, Connecticut, and the zip code is 06416. So where do you have, your address of your chapel there?
Yeah, there's several of these. Let's see, the National Center for Padre Pio it just says Bartow, 111 Bartow Road, Bartow, Pennsylvania.
Okay. That'd be a 111 angel number.
Yeah, right. And another angel number.
Archangel Metatron.
But the main thing, let's see. So he's coming to visit, well, his whatever they bring for him. I'm not sure what that's going to be. He's actually, his relics are here now. They came in May from Italy.
Okay.
So there was something, let's see, St. Padre Pio relics to tour the United States. And, maybe they were going to bring his body. They're showing his body in this picture. But anyway, you can look into it more if you decide to do this. But he's coming to May 9th. He was in Pittsburgh. This weekend, he is at the St. Anne Church in Arlington, Virginia. September 17th and 18th, he's going to be at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And then it looks like September 20th, he's going to Wisconsin and Milwaukee, and then back to Connecticut and to Michigan finally on September 23rd. But I'll post this article on Unseen Realms.
Well, I kind of have a, you know, he's kind of saying right now that I'm here to help the world. If you're willing to take the path, he says, I'm here to help you find your way. And
yeah.
Do you have any messages from him for our listeners?
What I'm getting right now is the biggest thing I'm getting is just don't give up hope, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are very hopeless right now for whatever reason. Maybe they feel like, you know, they don't like the president or they don't like foreign policy or whatever's happening in the world. But just know that, you know, they're always there behind us to back us up. And it's all going to turn out well.
If you think about prayer, like he says, pray, hope, and don't worry. And if you think about prayer, that's kind of like a verbal vision board.
Right.
You know, you're putting your intentions out there, and it doesn't have to be a prayer like the Hail Mary or the Our Father, even though the Our Father does light up all seven of the chakras, seven of, you know, the bodily chakras. It feeds each one of them. But you're praying can just, you know, it's just, I know you're there. We need your help. We'll accept whatever the best is. Please help those who don't have, you know, that can be your prayer. Or just, I'm going to dedicate my morning at work for this person, for this intention. The more you put negativity, because I understand there's a lot to be negative about, and it seems the press has a wonderful time putting in and out as much negativity as they can. I still go along with Monsters, Inc., you know, laugh and be lightened and all that stuff. It'll kind of lighten up with it. And that's what I just imagine the best situation happening. And again, as he said, pray, hope, and don't worry. And, you know, act like there's solutions already on the way, and the solutions will be on the way.
Yeah.
So do we have any callers?
We did. Yes, we do. Let's see. Area code 219.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Area code 219.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Who is this?
Oh, my name is Liz.
Okay.
Liz?
Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Did you want to ask a question?
I'm enjoying your topic about positive PO in St. Therese.
Yes.
Yeah.
And right now, I didn't know about Padre Pio, how he can help in questioning certain situations. And that's right now going on in my life.
Okay. Do you have a question for us? Is there any way we can help you out?
Basically, trying to figure out if it's the right time to go back to school. Because that's what's really kind of weighing heavily.
Well, do you? I have to ask you. Are you getting a lot of nudges to go back to school?
Yes.
Then it's usually for a reason. What are you going to go to school in?
To continue with mental health counseling.
Oh, you'd be beautiful in that. You'd have absolutely. And if they're pushing for that, then they're saying that there's a real need for that, and they want you to go. Because they keep – what they're going to do is they're going to stand outside of your energy and kind of knock on it, you know. And you might go, well, it might – you can give them 1,000 different reasons why it's not the time. But, you know, I'm going to pull cards. But, Jen, what are you getting on this?
Your name is Liz?
Yes, Liz.
Liz, okay. Okay, what I'm getting on this is before you get into that specific it's okay to do the coursework and stuff. But before you start working with people, we've got to kind of look at, you need to look at yourself a little bit before you get into that. And I'll tell you why. I actually work with a lot of people that have mental problems, okay, doing what I do with Akashic Records readings. Because a lot of times people will come to me when they've kind of exhausted everything else. You know, maybe they've gone to the doctor, they've been on medication, and they might be suicidal. And then it's kind of like spirit sends them to me when they have, you know, kind of lost hope. And so one thing is, it's tough. It's not easy to help people when they're kind of in that position. So
yes.
One thing that they're saying for you, Liz, is make sure that you've done your own clearing and that you take care of your energy first before you get into that. Because I'm feeling like your energy, I'm getting a vibe that your energy is a little low right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. And that's why I keep questioning.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's okay to do this kind of work, but, you know, it does take a lot out of you. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, I just have to take a break and say, I'm not going to do readings for a couple weeks. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to know her month and date of birth. I want to know her date of birth.
10/29.
Can I ask the year?
67.
Okay, you can go back. Okay, you can do that while I'm doing this, Jen.
Yeah. So basically, that was kind of the information I was getting from your spirit guides is, you know, this is kind of like a journey for you as well, to kind of heal yourself and then help other people be healed. But here's the thing about mental health, and I can speak to this because I was a psychology major undergrad. You're going to learn a lot of things in school about why people have mental health problems, okay? What they don't talk about is energy. What they don't talk about is all the other things that go into it.
Yeah, and protecting yourself.
And also, like, you know, a lot of times people are labeled mental disorder. And they might just be very spiritual. For example,
right.
I first came out of the spiritual closet like 15 years ago, and I started talking about it to people, and I said, yeah, I see angels, I hear angels. Well, they immediately jumped to, oh, Jennifer's got schizophrenia. And I was like, what? No, I don't. I don't have schizophrenia. I was having a religious experience. And that's kind of, I think, why they're being told that you should get into this field, because you're going to know all of it, not just what they teach you. And that's where you're really going to be effective. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Liz, you're in a pinnacle of a six right now. Pinnacle is like this 40 from age 46 on. And how old are you now?
49,
yeah. And it's a six. You're in a six pinnacle, which means that kind of whatever you do, this is the parts of your life that the good part of your life. This is, you're going to be in counseling, some part of counseling or another. That's kind of what your path is right now. But the challenge for you is going to be staying organized. That's going to be the challenge, of staying organized. Also, you're going to have to learn how to protect yourself, spiritually protect yourself. And ask, you know, tell them, you're like, well, you know, if you want me to do this, then show up, you know, give me the way, show me how I'm supposed to do this and stuff. And it'll come your way. You know, I kind of can feel the energy, as Jen said, kind of, you know, kind of lower right now. But we need people like you. I mean, if you called in tonight, we need people like you. And some people, there's going to be, you're needed. You really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and let me just give you one. Let me give you one example of a friend that I had of something that she did. Okay. She was a registered nurse. Okay. She went to nursing school, blah, blah, blah. And then when she would start her shift, she would put a crystal under people's pillow, like a quartz crystal. She would put them under the people at the hospital. Now, nobody saw her do this. She just did it because she knew how quartz crystals can heal people. So she would put it under their pillow when nobody was looking, and then when she got off her shift, she would take the crystal back. So it's kind of like you're going to do some similar things. Like you're going to go in, and you don't have to tell anybody what you're doing. You know, because not everyone understands it anyway. So,
right.
You know, and you don't want to be like, oh, well, you know, she's doing something that is out of the, you know, rules of behaviors. But you just kind of flip it in when they don't see you.
Can I ask what you're doing now?
Actually, nothing at the moment. I've been on disability and just basically helping take care of my mom.
Okay. I would suggest, because you're talking about going back to school, do you know about the emotion code and the body code?
No.
Okay. Look up, and I have a pencil and paper here. Listen to this broadcast afterwards. I started because I have certified in the emotion code and the body code. And that's a kind of a way to help people. It talks about it takes the energies, blocked energies off of the body. Like from emotions, it can take emotions off. You can take emotions that are inherited off the body, emotions blocked from kids off, from a long time ago off the body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the time to go back to school because you are taking care of your mother, there's things that you can do like Reiki, the emotion code. You can start getting into, you know, the healing arts and then even, you know, reading cards and stuff like that until the opportunity arises for you to go back to school.
Okay.
All right, because that's kind of what I'm doing right now, angel therapy and all that stuff. I mean, I do think that you're going to be doing something more structured. But instead of wandering back and forth and kind of blocking it because this is what you want to do, start making little steps going in that direction, and then it'll just kind of open up.
Okay.
So Liz, you're kind of what Doreen Virtue calls an undercover light worker.
Oh,
so
wow.
you're gonna be a light worker, and there's a lot of us that are planted at different places throughout the world. For example, I know of several people that are in the Federal Reserve that are working there that have gone through the Seraphim Blueprint, all the levels. Or, you know, kind of some of these darker places on the planet where
mm-hmm.
we need people to bring the light. Like I work at the Veterans Administration, for example.
Oh.
You know, my day job. So, that's kind of what you're going to be doing. You're going to be, you know, going through the structured process, but you'll kind of be doing stuff on the down low.
Okay.
Angelically, they want you, because you are taking care of your mother, they want you to remember to take care of yourself. They want you to focus. You need to remember to eat, to sleep, focus, and meditate. It's a, you know, because when you're working with somebody and you're healing them, you're kind of healing yourself too. And it can easily be distracted and go in a lot of different directions. The body code and the emotion code will help you get some of your energy back. Start with the emotion code. The book is Bradley Nelson's Emotion Code, and you can buy it on Amazon. But make sure you take care of yourself. I would suggest to write to Padre Pio, write to St. Teresa of Lisieux, and ask them questions and sit there and wait for responses. Because you're 29, your birthday is 29, which means you've got a lot of, it's kind of from God's mouth to your ears. You know, I do numerology, and 29 comes to 9 plus 2 is 11. And if you have an 11 in your chart, it's, you know, it tends to be a bit more high strung. Also, when you're taking care of somebody, they're kind of pulling energy off you. So don't forget to cut your cords. Doreen Virtue has her angel therapy handbook. And if you don't have time to go to classes, we do this course for people don't have time to go to classes and stuff. This is why we're on each night. This is why we come on Sunday. So I have a cousin of mine that used Doreen Virtue's Angel Therapy Handbook. She bought the Emotion Code book, and she's set. I mean, she's doing mediumship readings. She's teaching people about angels. She dove right into it, and I think they were just waiting for somebody to kind of switch the light on with her. And you will get your energy back working with the angels and stuff like that.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And just so you know, it's because of the law of attraction, the fact that you are attracted to the show means that they are your spirit guides, Padre Pio and Saint Therese. So, I would highly recommend going online, printing out their picture, putting it next to your bed.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And help you bring that energy, that healing energy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. We have area code 954.
Okay.
954.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help you?
Yes. My name is Mary. I'm calling from Florida. And I was drawn to the show because I actually got to see the relics of St. Teresa as it was passing through our town some years ago.
Oh. Wow. I've got chills.
By rose petals. There were rose petals all over the church. There were long lines to come in, and I was with my family, and we were praying for all of us, and it was a very spiritual moment, and we were like the last ones before they cut it off and did a two-hour service. We were even parked illegally, and we were worried to get a ticket, but we just remained, and we were very blessed to be there. I grew up Catholic, and, of course, in later years, I changed and went other directions. I've been on the spiritual path all my life. And this was a blessing. I pray to her many times, and I get signs of roses in various forms, sometimes a word, sometimes the actual rose. And she's come through. I'm praying now to her again. I'm going through a very challenging time with my health and some other issues in my life, and I continue to ask for her intervention to please help me to find a way to resolve this issue. And anything you could tell me about the situation would be greatly appreciated. My birthday is 12/8/43.
Okay. Let's see. 12, 8. What was the last caller's life path, Grace? Do you remember?
Her life path was an 8.
Oh, it was an 8. Okay.
But her birthday was her birthday, which means she can manage things. But her birthday, we're sorry, Mary. Hold on. Her birthday was 29. So, birthday was. So let me see what we can come up here with you, Mary. Let's see, as far as your.
He is.
Okay. I'm just hearing what I throw out there. They're telling you to release yourself from guilt. You are an angel. You're absolutely an angel. And there's no reason to feel guilty. You've done the best you can in every situation, and that's kind of what they're telling me right now. I'm sitting here shuffling the cards. I haven't pulled cards yet, but this is what I'm getting so far. Jen, do you have anything?
Okay. You know how readings tend to go in patterns of three? I don't know if I've ever told you that, but that's what seems to happen. So you and the last caller have a lot of things in common from my perspective. I feel like you have very low energy right now. I feel like other people are kind of like draining you. dysfunctional relationships for you?
I'm not really in any type of relationship. Actually, there's been big changes where people have gone out of my life for different reasons, their own problems and so forth. I don't really have anyone doing that. But, I live in a busy complex. There's a lot of dysfunctional people around me, and that
okay.
can be
well,
very
that's where,
draining in itself.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what we're talking about with relationships.
Yeah, I just got that word that came in. They said dysfunctional. And so it could be, it could be neighbors, could be, you know, romantic.
Just had a kind of chaotic energy that I don't resonate well.
Okay.
Noise, chaos, you know, just helter-skelter living, that type of thing. And it's not, you know, so I back away from it because it that could be draining for me if I try to do anything about it. So, I understand that.
Okay.
I worked on my own issues when I was in relationships where they were dysfunctional, and I decided that it was time to help myself and remove myself from certain people. And I was blessed to be able to have strength to do that. Now I'm pretty much on my own and not really connecting as well as I'd like to because I'm not finding the like-minded people. I was with a spiritual group for a very long time, and the dynamics of that changed greatly, and so I'm no longer involved in that group. But I still try to keep my own spirituality. But I'm pretty much single-handedly trying to overcome this health issue, getting medical help, but not getting really a resolution.
What is the medical issue?
Well, the majority of it is in the abdominal areas. I can't go into great detail, but that is the basis of it.
Abdominal, okay.
Okay, I would say that, have you cut your cords? Do you do the cord cutting thing? Do you know about cutting cords, Mary?
I know what you're speaking of. I think I did years back when I was connected with certain people. Yeah, I've done that.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do that for her now, Grace.
Yeah, because she's got a lot of cords coming out of her stomach. That's what I can see is cords, cording in the front, and I see it up around the something coming in the back of the head. I see something in the front, and I see throat, the front, the back of the head. I don't see psychic in the head, and I see blockage at the throat. Mary, I'm talking spiritual, I'm talking energy blockage and the stomach. It seems like it's the second and the third chakra.
Mary, if you are willing to give me your legal name, I can open up your Akashic records right now and we can clear out all that junk if you're willing to.
I'd rather not for confidentiality.
Can you get her off of line and I can give you, and I can talk. Can you take off a line?
Okay. So what I'm going to do what I'll do is I'm just going to, I can't open up her Akashic records, but I can.
Okay, I probably shouldn't know it all, but maybe.
Well, it comes in bits and pieces. A lot of times, you know, it's kind of you've got mail. So, you know, if you want to take her offline, I can talk about the. I don't see the callers from here, but I can talk about Melissa Sinova coming in the next couple of weeks. I can give you about 3 minutes.
Could you say that again, please? I'm sorry. It breaks up a little bit.
Yeah, I can't do that because I don't have my phone with me.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mainly, I just wanted to see whether you feel that, you know, I'm heading in the right direction, if I will get some resolution, if the confusion will kind of get straightened out.
Yeah, it's going I'm doing. I've got the Lenormand cards in front of me right now. Okay, I do. I have them right now, and it shows me your health problems. The Mademoiselle Lenormand cards. I'm doing angel cards and the both of them. It shows me your health problems. It also is showing me the tree, and the tree is usually health problems, but I also see it as the Akashic records, and that's kind of going on right now. Also, in the future, I see a white bear, and a white bear is usually money. It's usually a good sign. It usually knows that things are getting managed. I think you're going to be healthier in the future. And there's going to be a choice to be made in the future, two paths. We're either going to go one way or another. I see that in the right now they're asking you to make sure you live in truth and integrity. You're covered by a lot of angels right now. You have a lot of angelic help around you. And Archangel Michael is protecting you right now. So it was, I guess before it was kind of a very magical period. And you have to know that right now you're being protected and you're covered by Archangel Michael. So, Jen, can we cut those cords? Can we get rid of those cords for Mary right now?
I can do that without opening up her records. I was just going to try to give her the whole thing. But we can ask Archangel Michael to cut all the energy cords in the front of her body. In the back.
Okay. Asking Archangel Michael, Angel St. Raphael, Archangel Raphael. We're asking Archangel Michael to clear the cords, to cut the cords between Mary and other people in negative situations in the front, and asking Archangel Raphael to please put your, Archangel Michael, please use your indigo colored sword to cut all those cords between Mary and these situations. Also, in the back of the head, please take away all those negative energies in the back of the head. Please, angels, clear out around the throat area. I see it around the throat area. I need you to open up that area and clear it out right now. Take all that energy up. Take it up to the light. Archangel Raphael, I please come in and add your golden, your green light to heal those areas. Heal the area around the stomach. Heal the area around the throat. Heal the area around the back of the head, and so it is. Amen.
So it is. Amen. And Mary, I just want to share something else that came in for you just now.
Okay.
You were a nun in a past life. You have been
a nun. I was told that before. Yeah, I've been told that before, and I found years ago, this is weird, I don't know whether it was a classroom setting or where it was. I came back, and on my desk was a picture done in a green watercolor, and it was a picture of a nun. And I thought that was pretty strange. Where did it come from? Nobody knew. And I've been told before that I was a nun in a past life.
More than one, in fact, several lifetimes.
Hmm.
Now, this is where they're going with this. The reason they brought this up is because you have some old contracts that we want to dissolve now, okay? I'm getting that you have taken, now, you've been a monk and a nun in many lifetimes. They show me a monk in Italy. They show me a nun in Ireland as a lifetime. And what we're going to do now is we're going to ask Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Uriel, to please cut all contracts, just dissolve all contracts, all vows, all things that no longer serve Mary's highest and greatest good. We ask that in all directions of time, past, present, and future, in all dimensions and all lifetimes, that these vows and contracts be dissolved.
And so it is.
Oh, that was a good one for you.
Okay, I can relate. Very good.
A good one. You'll definitely see a shift after that.
In about two weeks, you're going to see a shift. Also, Mary, in your living space, please put crystals. Please charge crystals and put them around you. Put four corners of your space to keep the energy.
In the cabinet to protect the cats from knocking them down, but I put them in my windows.
Yeah, the cat.
Full moon. So that
they said if you know, we know that the earth isn't flat because the cats would have knocked everything off of it by now. I saw that on the internet the other day.
Right.
know.
Not as spiritual as we'd like them to be. I have a cat named Spirit, in fact.
So things start shift, all right?
Wonderful. All right, I'll look forward to that. I could use a big shift.
keep prayers going to St. Teresa and
yes.
Padre Pio. Invoke both of them, okay?
Yes, they're very interesting stories about both of their lives. I'd read some of it, but not all of them. I know he had the stigmata, and I found out something I didn't know for many years about an aunt of mine, that it was kept secret that around every year at Easter time, she had blood coming out of her palms, and she never told anybody except her family. And then a family member finally disclosed that, and I said, that's something I never knew.
Wow. You also have Archangel Uriel, because I did the cards twice, and the cards came out the same way both times. In messages from your messages for angels, you have Archangel Uriel. It says you are willing to open to greater love and help you release anger and forgiveness from your heart and your mind. And that's, you know, goes along with what's going on. Is the forgiveness thing is a really big deal, because if you're angry with people, you have a cord to that person. And that cord, that means that person can take anything they want from you, and you can take, you've already made a cord if you're angry with people. So you have to do that forgiveness thing where you have a candle, make sure it's not around anything that can burn. You write down everything that you can, write a letter to the person and telling them you forgive them for this, and you can burn it. You take the ashes and you let it blow in the wind. Okay, make sure the ashes are, you know, that's one way. So Archangel Raphael is here, and she's helping you heal from, she is helping you heal from physical challenges. And it says you are a light worker, and it's time to shine your light and love like an angel upon this earth and all its inhabitants. And the last thing is that you are going through a pinnacle of 11, and like the last, you have 11 going on in your chart right now, which makes you a bit more hyper. You have more dreams. You have more, it's kind of like from God's mouth to your ears. And this has been going on since, I think of the age, I don't know which the age is. It's been going on since, my goodness, hold on. 0 to 35, 35 to 44. Give me a minute. 44 to 50. This has been going on since age 53. Okay,
wow.
When you started getting more, you know, and in that case, because you are, it's a master number. You have to protect yourself a bit more.
I know. I have a very busy mental activity. My physical can't keep up with the mental things that are going on in my head constantly. It's just you. Just don't, you know, you want to turn it off. The monkey mind just keeps rolling on.
Well,
you
want to
slow down, and you can't. It's just
turn it off by writing. You can dump it out by writing, okay? Because
yeah.
I got the same thing, and I've got a lot of things going on. And I've just opened a file on the Internet, and one of the things I'm doing right now is writing kind of a biography of my life. I don't think anybody's going to see it, but it helps me.
Yeah. Nobody would believe some of the things. It's just incredible. And I flash back every now and then and say, did I go through that? Did I experience that? What was that about? You know, a lot of unanswered questions.
So, Mary, something that they want to say to you.
Yes.
One more thing. That you work for them. You're in service to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they really want to thank you for everything that you've done. Not just in this lifetime, but other ones.
Okay.
They appreciate your service. And, you know, remember to call on them for help. They're there with you all the time. You have tons of angels around you. You have a very heavenly vibe around you. I mean, I picked up on that immediately. So stay strong. You'll get through this. And no matter what happens, it's all for God. You're in service to God, just like you have been in many other lifetimes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thanks
for the show. Very, very interesting.
Well, We're very honored that you called in, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great evening. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, area code 856.
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was just wondering if you see any really big changes coming my way in the next few months.
What's your birth date, hon?
October 1st, 63.
63?
Yeah, 63.
Okay. All right, let me see what we have here. Have you had a lot of work this year?
Have I had a lot of work? I just started a job about a month ago, so I was out of work for about 6 months.
Yeah, there's a lot of work for you this year, and I don't think any changes are going to come up until next year because you're in a four-year right now, which is usually a wait a minute, it's 10-1. Let me see what we have here. 10-1. No, it's not a four-year for you. It's a 2 plus 1 is a 3-year. Okay, let me tell you about this year. Let me tell you about this year. Don't get caught in gossiping about people because they're going to hear it. A 3-year, I'm going to tell you about relationships. If you're in a relationship this year, a relationship comes up, this is in a year that, you know, that you're going to meet your soulmate. This is kind of a year to have fun and things like that. I see a lot of work for you next year, and I'm going by numerology more than anything else. I'm really going by numerology right now. Jen, do you have anything?
Yes. One thing that they want to say, Laura, is it's time for you to come out of the, quote, spiritual closet.
Okay.
Do you know what that means? You know what that means?
I'm not sure. I know I get signs, so I feel that something's coming. I feel like I have a feeling that my spiritual gifts are going to be evolving this year. I do feel that, but I don't disclose everything that happens to me because people, you know, they don't accept it very well.
I know. But you know what?
My family.
Yeah, I've been through that. I get that, and I got this. But listen,
yeah, there's going to be an older woman.
Oh, sorry. I just need to say this. But what they're saying is, first of all, don't be scared. Don't go into fear because of, and again, I'm getting a past life for you as a witch.
Mm.
I think that's I'm getting quite like Pennsylvania area, 1600s. You were killed as a witch. Although it wasn't real obvious. How do I say this? Okay, we're going to clear that lifetime. Can you just take a deep breath for me, please?
Okay.
All right. This was a lifetime where you were killed by some men for being a witch, but they did it not publicly, but they did it covertly. Covertly. You've got some fear still from that, and I feel like maybe even those people have come back in karmically to this lifetime. And you've got to let that go now. Because you are supposed to be a healer and a light worker and be out in the open like we are. So
well, I've got something else to talk about. When you are you clearing her now or can I? Because I'm looking at her numerology going. You're sure your birthday?
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Okay, all right. I need to, before we get into this, you have a life path of 3, which means that you have a lot of psychic abilities, which means you're very creative. And you can see things other people don't see. You know, you see your medium, natural born medium. And actually, all of your, I'm looking at your challenges. And you challenge of, I've just done your challenges, and your challenges zero way throughout your life. Now, that means all challenges or none of the challenges.
You're
so
breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up, breaking. Grace.
Okay. Am I okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You either have had all of the challenges or none of the challenges. So from 0 to 32, you had a zero challenge period. So it's from all of the challenges or none. From 32 to 41, again, you had zero challenges. From 41 to 50, zero challenges. And then after the age of 50, zero challenges. So that is a sign of a very, very, very old soul. Extremely old soul. So that's rare, because I've never seen that when I'm doing numerology. I've heard about it, but I've never seen that before. And you're very good at diplomacy. You're extremely good at being diplomatic and kind of including people and counseling people and things like that. That's a very strong point for you.
Well, it's pretty accurate. You're on target with that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's numbers, yeah. Okay? That's not me. That's numbers. Jen does the, you know. So go ahead, Jen. Start the rest of it. I'll stand back. I just needed that. I needed that to be said.
Yeah. So they showed me, like, you in this, like a frock dress, and it's very white, and I feel like it was like either Quaker or Mennonite or Amish, something like that. It was in Pennsylvania in the 1600s, and I think they killed you. The men killed you for something you did. Okay. Have you ever been to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I grew up in Pennsylvania. And,
no way.
I have visited, yeah, Pittsburgh area.
Wow. Wow. Because, you know, the Amish country is only, what, an hour east of Pittsburgh.
No, it's not. It's like 4 or 5 hours east of Pittsburgh. It's above Philadelphia.
Lancaster. But I have been there, yeah. I've been to Lancaster.
Well, actually, there is, because it just came up for somebody else's reading. It might be Mennonites. It might be Mennonites or something, but there's some kind of anyway, I'll figure it out. But there was some kind of what's going on with that kind of religious kind of, you know, fundamental type of thing going on there. Where was that? Now that's going to drive me nuts. I'll find it.
Okay, so while she's sitting here looking for that, yeah, you are being asked to, you've got the High Priestess. I've just pulled out the regular tarot cards. And you are being asked to follow the spiritual path. It looks like your energy's been a bit down. It looks like your energy is a bit down, and a lot of new ideals are charging into your life. You're kind of worried, as Jen said, about going into this, because this is going to cause some arguments with people. You don't have to be right. You don't have to defend your position. Forget it. You believe what you believe. You don't have to defend it to anybody, and you don't have to. And that's what's before you. It's kind of like a lot of arguments. This is who I am. That's what it is. So where you are right now, according to the tarot cards, is the High Priestess. A lot of things are going to start opening for you. And the final card in this, the Magician, all your gifts are going to start coming toward you. And there's going to be a period of separation from somebody you love. That's kind of like your hopes and fears, is that it's going to separate you from other people. And I see, now I'm going to say the transition card.
Hey, Grace. Yeah, we can't hear you. Can you call back in?
Wait, let me move my microphone to another.
Why don't you try a new connection, see if that helps.
Okay.
Oh, I'm talking to Grace.
Okay.
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, I can hear you too.
Okay.
I know something's coming, because I get all the signs, and I get all kinds of stuff. Like, really, things move even in the apartment, and I've had meetings with other mediums where on their end, because I was doing a Skype reading with somebody, and I was talking about the fact that things move. And while I was Skyping with him, something moved on his end, and I heard it, and I saw it. He said, oh, my gosh. that was very interesting. But it happens a lot. I get the lights blinking and the feathers and the coins and the buzzing in the ears. And sometimes I get, like, kaleidoscope visions in my eye, which freaks me out a little bit, because one time I was driving the car when it happened. I didn't think they would do that when I was driving, but they did. So I don't know. Something's coming. I just feel like there's going to be something happening soon.
Well,
I do have Reiki. I have gone and gotten my Reiki master certification.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Well, they just want you to know that as a light worker, as a healer, and you know you had a soul mission to come down into this lifetime to help the planet, right, with the ascension. Where we're all shifting to the higher realms of consciousness. And they needed the numbers of enough light workers to come in to push it, the tipping point, so that we could do this. Anyway, you, my dear, are a very old soul. Totally agree with Grace, just like our last couple callers. They do not want you to be afraid to speak your truth. And in fact, you're supposed to, because that's your light. That's kind of your soul mission. Now, I'm not saying to go there and yell it from the rooftops or anything, but it's all about the words that you use. Okay. And, I just say prayer. I use the word prayer to my parents, for example. They're pretty much, Presbyterian USA, go to church every Sunday. They don't know this stuff. They don't know it. They don't understand it. They don't really want to hear about it. But when I told them a couple weeks ago that I was leading a global prayer vigil, it happened to be on a full moon day, but I didn't tell them that. That's the kind of thing, excuse me, those are the kinds of things that I've learned to do. Kind of figure out where they're at. Does that make sense?
That's good. Yeah, that makes good sense. I like that. I had to leave my church because I was sharing some of my experiences with my minister, and that didn't go over too well with him.
Yeah, I did. I've done that. I don't go to church now myself.
Me neither. I know, I do too.
The only time I go is, I'll go for holidays, Christmas and stuff, with my parents. But I actually stopped going to church because I was in the Ruth Bible Circle study group. And I wanted to be a missionary. So I was really into that whole scene. And I remember this day, and this is the day I decided I wasn't going to go back. Now, I'm not saying I might never go back, but for now I'm not. I started talking about Mary Magdalene to someone, and they said, Jesus couldn't have been married. He didn't have time. And I said, they wouldn't let you be a rabbi unless you were married. So tell me how that happened.
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of part of the path.
Yeah, I brought a lot of stuff up in Bible study that didn't go over too well.
I know.
I have to go. This isn't for me anymore. I can't. And then I felt guilty walking away from it. So there's all that because of what you were raised and taught to believe.
I know.
That was, not easy.
I totally get it. I've been there, done that. I totally get it. But now, I stopped looking for validation from people around me. And here I am now. I mean, gosh, I have a radio show. I'm at psychic fairs doing readings for people. And I'm working with Mother Mary and the angels and the spirit guides and the saints and the ascended masters. So I'm doing what I came to do. which is what you're here to do, just to be a healer. So,
okay.
You know, just don't get into the fear or fear of judgment from other people. You'll find your tribe. It'll happen. It will happen. We found it here on this radio show. That's why we do it.
Yeah. I've been told mediumship is coming for me. And
yeah.
So I've been told that. And I feel that it's coming. It's just I don't know when it's going to be arriving, but I don't know. It's been escalating in the last few years. But all this started for me back in 1990. So,
okay.
But it's really escalated in the last few years. So I feel that something's happening and it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'll handle it, though. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. If I'll be scared from it or able to embrace it. I don't know yet. But I'm going to be open. I will be open to it.
Don't be scared.
Yeah.
It'll all work out. All right. Well, listen, Laura, I got to go. We got one more caller here, I think.
Thank you. I appreciate the reading. It was great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Laura. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Grace, are you still there? Oh, what happened to Grace? Okay, I guess we lost her. All right, everyone, thank you so much for calling in. I feel like it was a really good show. We love working with Padre Pio and St. Teresa of Lisieux. And we highly, highly encourage everyone that called in tonight, or if you're listening, you have a connection to them or you wouldn't have been drawn to this radio show. So please call them in. They can only come in if you call them. That's the law of free will. Call them in. Ask for their help with whatever healing you need for yourself or others. They're just waiting for you to call. All right. Thanks so much and have a great evening. God bless.